Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
All right, well, great. Have we released the youth yet? So youth, you are allowed to disappear right now. And Margo's back there saying, follow me, Pied Piper. Hi, I'm Steve Fitzpatrick, and I'm glad to be with you here today. I'm also a volunteer here at the church. Actually, what I do for a living, a lot of people don't know, is I am the president of the Herald of Faith Missions Organization, and it's a faith-based mission, and we develop pastoral leaders around the world. And so I just got back from Honduras a little bit ago, and so you've heard that. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation. We have been studying this summer the Holy Spirit. And the reason we use the Stranger Things theme there is because Pastor Ben likes that theme, Stranger Things, and he got inspired over that, and it's really good. And if you would like a paper with my notes on it right now, the ushers have some in the back. If you would like to take notes on paper, there are some, that just raise your hand and they'll give you those in a minute. And so, but Stranger Things. And so what we talking about is actually the moving of the Holy Spirit. Every time the Holy Spirit moves, something supernatural happens. And so to a worldly mindset, then that's kind of strange. Anything supernatural is strange. And so we're looking at this now and saying, okay, it's strange for the world. For us, it should be a little bit more normal. Oh, the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life. Actually, there should be a constant moving of the Holy Spirit in your life, day in, day out. You should be hearing from the Spirit of God. You should be asking the Spirit of God to move, to do things, and that should be a normal part of your life rather than a strange part of your life. So in our series now, we've been studying the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the works of the Holy Spirit, how he works in and through our lives. Different topics for the last month of July. Now in August, we're going to kind of focus a little bit more. And Pastor Ben asked me today if I wouldn't take the actual topic of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now I have some experience with this. As I've said, I travel around the world, and I was thinking about it, and it's not to be braggadocious in any way. It's just kind of a fact that I have prayed for people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit in over 40 countries. I have actually prayed for thousands of people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I've seen thousands of people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I want to look at that topic with you today. This is not your run-of-the-mill sermon where you're thinking about it and you're just going to go, okay, maybe next week I'll do something about the sermon. I'm praying that today, before you leave, we've got padlocks on the doors. Just kidding. No, I'm praying that before you leave, something happens in your life. I'm praying either you get refilled with the Holy Spirit and you find a wonderful experience today in the Spirit of God, or you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you never have and you want to do that, that's for you today. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then obviously I would like for you to receive Jesus as your Savior, repent of your sins, and then move into these areas. But since we're talking about this, I start with Jude. Jude verse 20 says, "But you, dear friends, build yourself up on your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit." And I want to just pray right now. Father God, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for how your word is going to speak into our lives. I pray something supernatural happens now, that now the Spirit of God would speak into every person's life as we look at the word, as we hear the word. Faith is brought into our heart and mind, and so we can reach out and grab more of you, whether it's a filling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever we need from you, a miracle, help in any way, that, Lord, we can by faith reach out and grab that today in Jesus' name. Amen. So talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and my sermon is real simple. I have three simple points today. I'm going to talk about the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit given. Then I'm going to talk about how that promise is fulfilled, and then how we can apply that promise to today. Simple outline, and that's the only blanks that I've got. Given, fulfilled, and today. And so just keeping it simple. What I would rather you do this morning is, if you have a paper Bible, how many brought a paper Bible this morning? Okay, so we've got 10, 12, 15. All right, great. Or your phone. How many got your phone? All right. Or if you're just really there and didn't bring a phone or a paper Bible, we've got it all on the overhead here on the monitors. We're going to have all the verses listed out. This last week, Scott Lux was, he had to step out for a little bit, but congratulations to the tech team, doing a good job back there, praise God. But Scott was going to do these slides for me, and I just gave him my outline, and he took it literal, and he did, it's just like, you're going to see there's like 75 slides here. Every single verse has a slide. It took hours and hours to do this, and so I appreciate the tech team, but I'm just going to look at verses with you today. That's all my sermon is. I'm just going to read verses, make some comments, and then we're going to have prayer at the end. And I want you to be ready for that. You need something for prayer. We're going to have an altar call. And if you need anything from God, this is going to be it. This is the day. So let's look now at the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the context of the promise given. Here in Jude 20, the verse we opened up with, it says, it finished with, and pray in the Holy Spirit. How is that done? How do you pray in the Holy Spirit? Well, I believe first you got to be baptized in the Spirit. And then you have a personal, private prayer language that you use to pray in the Spirit. People who don't have that, I'm not sure how they interpret that verse and pray in the Holy Spirit. Do they have to say no to all fleshly desires, get themselves all screwed up so that they can say, yes, now I'm in the Spirit, now I will pray? I'm not sure how they do that because it's real clear in the Scripture what that prayer in the Holy Spirit is. 1 Corinthians 14 talks all about it. We've been looking at that in this last month. This coming Wednesday night, I'm going to take a deep dive into what I'm preaching on here this morning and actually differentiate the gift of tongues, as in 1 Corinthians 12, with interpretation, and contrast that with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and look at that in depth. That's this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, if you want to come out and enjoy that. So let's talk about the promise given. Let's go back to John chapter 1. Like I said, I'm just going to read some verses, make some comments, and we're going to have some prayer this morning. John chapter 1, verse 29. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Jesus is the one. So what did he say? Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Let's go to John chapter 7. Just working my way through the scriptures. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. Everybody with me this morning? You understand where I'm going? What I'm about to do? Everybody with me? Yes, amen. Okay, all right, great. John 7, 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, this is happens to be the Feast of Tabernacles, the Festival of Tabernacles. And during this Feast of Tabernacles, historically, what would happen during this feast is a priest would stand in the court and he would be pouring out water as he made statements about the pouring out of water. At that moment, Jesus stands and he says this in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers, in the Greek that would be a flood or torrents of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit. Now this is John interpreting what Jesus said. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So John, after the fact, is talking and said, well, when Jesus said this, out of you will flow rivers of living water if you believe in him, what he's really talking about is the Spirit of God flowing in you and out of you and the Spirit of God. That's what it's talking about. But he hasn't been given yet because
Jesus has not yet been glorified. It's still a promise coming. And so let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Working our way through the Gospel of John here, talking about the Holy Spirit as a promise given. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It's like rivers of living water when you receive the Spirit. It's going to be bubbling out of you. John 14 verse 15. 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. New International Version says here, this is the 2011 NIV. Old 1984 NIV says, he'll give you a counselor. Another translation would say a comforter. The Greek word there is parakletos. He will give you a legal advisor, an advocate, a counselor, a helper, one who's going to stand next to you and help you through the difficult times. This is the advocate for you, another advocate. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him. I'm not talking to unbelievers this morning. I'm talking to believers. If you're not a believer in Jesus, what you're going to receive at this moment is the admonition to repent of your sins and ask Jesus to be your Savior. Now, if you do that, then you can receive other revelation. But if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, I don't really anticipate you to understand the message other than the drawing of the Holy Spirit that you need to take some action in your life. And we encourage you to do that. But the Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you, he's talking to his disciples, you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So here's Jesus talking about a promise. Yes, I'm going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. It's going to be like rivers of living water within you once the Spirit is inside of you. He's going to be like another advocate, another counselor. He's going to be with you, and he's going to lead you and help you, and he's the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him, but you can, and he because he's with you and will be in you. Jesus talking about what's going to happen. John 15. John 15, continuing to just read the verses. John 15, verse 26. When the advocate, the parakletos, the counselor, the comforter, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So Jesus is telling his disciples, hey guys, I'm leaving, but I got good news for you. When I go, I'm going to send another parakletos, another one to walk alongside of you, and guess what? He's not just going to be walking alongside of you. He's going to be living inside of you. And this is what's going to happen. So be ready for it. I, as an individual human, I can only be in one place at one time. But when I leave, oh, it's going to be so good. The Holy Spirit will be in all believers, all around the world, all at the same time. And he's going to be helping you. So that's the Spirit today. Let's go to John 16. John 16, verse 12. We're just talking about the promise given. John 16, verse 12. 16, 12 to 13 says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So the Spirit's going to come. He's going to give revelation to you. He's going to tell you what's coming. The Spirit of Truth. But he's not here yet, but he's coming. It's a promise. It's coming. It's coming. Now, if we would go over to Luke, which we're not going to do, Luke 24, 49, Jesus was saying, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. So let's go to the book of Acts now, and let's talk about this promise being fulfilled. John talked about a promise given, it's coming, one day, it's coming. Now in Acts chapter 1, we're going to talk about the promise being fulfilled. Acts 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. And now we're going to be talking about the gift through the rest of the sermon here this morning. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. This goes all the way back to John 1, doesn't it now? This is John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John said in John 1, I baptize with water, but one is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That same one, Jesus, is now talking. He's saying, John baptized with water, but in a few days, you hang out here, don't leave town now, you wait, and something's going to happen. And what's going to happen? Well, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power. What a great thing. Power of God coming on you when you have the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just say, theologically, I don't know if any of you know me or my history. I have a master's of divinity, and I've been studying. I've been a dean of several Bible colleges, and so I think I know a little bit of the word of the Lord, and I'm still learning it, but someday I'll know the word of the Lord. But as I look at the word of the Lord here, I see, okay, but you, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, now, when you accept Christ as your Savior, something happens. You repent of your sins, and immediately the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, no longer outside. As we saw in the Old Testament, Spirit came on Samson, came on him, and he tore up the city gates and carried him for 30 miles. The Spirit came on Samson. He picked up a jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 guys. The Spirit came on in the Old Testament. The difference now is the Spirit is coming in. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you repent of your sins, the Spirit of God comes in you. But now what we're talking about, this word baptism, you will be baptized with the Spirit, is a little bit different than being filled with the Spirit. So much so that we see in Scripture there's one baptism in the Spirit, but there's many fillings of the Spirit. Maybe this morning you need to be filled and afresh and anew. That can happen in just a few minutes as we pray. And so we're looking at this now. As you repent, the Spirit of God comes in you. But baptism, that's a total different thing. Now that word is historically is fascinating. Did we agree it was 1511 or 1509? 1511? 1611. There we go, 1611. I agree with that. Okay, 1517 is Martin Luther. Okay, 1611. So in 1611, Casey and I were debating this in the first service, and I knew he was wrong. And so now we got it all worked out here. So in 1611, the king, King James, he authorizes a bunch of scholars in his kingdom, a bunch of priests now. He says, okay, now I want you to translate the Bible into the English language. So they said, okay, we're going to translate the Bible. And so they're cruising along, and all of a sudden, they come to this word baptizo in the Greek. Baptizo, and they're looking at each other. Now, if we literally translate that word, it means to be fully covered, whelmed, to go under. And if we do that, we're in real trouble with the Catholic cardinals now. They're going to cut off our heads for heresy, and so we know that's going to happen. What are we going to do? And one guy, smart guy, comes up with this idea. He says, well, let's just anglicize the word. Let's take baptizo and just say, let's create a word and we'll call it baptize. Great idea. So on 1611, they created the word baptize in the English language. They saved their heads and the rest is history. All right. So now, but the word means to fully cover, fully whelm, overflowing. And so if we've got a bottle of water here, say we have this bottle of water. And so now, this bottle, say, is filled with water. It is not. You can't tell. You're far away. Pretend it's filled with water, all right? So now, if this bottle received Jesus, it would have water in it. It would be filled with the Spirit, all right? That's great. Baptize would be a total different thing. It would be like if they took off the lid and all of a sudden the water inside, rivers, torrents started coming out. It would be fully whelmed, fully covered. That would be baptized. So we see there's a difference now between filled and baptized. Baptized means it's coming out, it's something, and we're going to see how that happens now. So Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The word power there is the word dunamis, where we get our Greek word, where English word dynamite from. Boom. Dynamite comes. Boom, and something happens. Something explosive happens. My definition for dunamis, and I don't know where I got the chutzpah to to create my own definition, but I got my own definition for dunamis. It's the supernatural ability to do miracles. All right? Dunamis, supernatural ability to do miracles. Yeah, that's what it's really all about. And that comes on people, and then once they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, this power just, they can use all kinds of gifts then. They can use power gifts. They can use miracles. They can use faith. They can words of knowledge, words of wisdom. That's what comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how about Christians who don't speak in tongues, but they're still great evangelists? I say, praise God for their evangelism. How much more could they do if they tapped into the supernatural? That's what I say. How much more could they do? So Acts chapter 1, it's coming. You go sit and you wait in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Talking about the promise fulfilled. Acts 2:1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So beautiful in the first service this morning. We had several people in the altar call, and they're wanting to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And several started speaking in tongues because the Spirit enabled them. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's still your tongue, your mouth, your lips, your vocal cords making noises and things like that. But it's words that the Spirit of God gives you that you're enabled to utter. It's not something that I just create, you know. It's like, just say this real fast. I wrote on a Honda. Say it 10 times real fast. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. No, you're not. It's got to be something that the Spirit of God gives you, and it's words that come. Now, a lot of people testify. I think Pastor Casey was testifying the other night. He just came a little word at first, just one little word. And he just kept thinking about that and started speaking that word, and then it just grew, and more words came. And that, everybody that gets baptized in the Spirit has their own unique story that they tell, but it's wonderful how God enabled them to speak in other tongues. My question this morning to you, have you been enabled to speak in other tongues? Well, it's there. It's for you. Has the Spirit enabled them? So what happens? They spill out onto the street, and people think they're drunk or they're crazy, and they're walking around, and Peter starts preaching, no, we're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. If it was 10 in the morning, we might be drunk, but it's only... No, he didn't say that. No, he said, 9 in the morning, we're not drunk. That's dumb. No, this is what God promised, the Holy Spirit. So he's preaching about how you crucified Jesus, God rose him from the dead, he's now Lord, he is Christ, and they all said, we killed him, And so now, verse 38, they said to Peter, what should we do? And he replied, Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent. So what do we do? Same thing to you this morning. I'm saying to you what I say to people all around the world. If you're going to come to Christ, what do? The door is repentance. You must repent of your sins. What does that word repent mean? It means you're going one way, and you stop, and you turn around, and you're going to go a different way. It means total change of a direction, a total change of mind, total change of heart, total change of attitude. That's the essence of the word repent. We need to repent daily. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, we're repenting daily. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, Revelation 3 talks about. So we're looking at this now. Repent, and then get water baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now look at this, end of verse 38. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a gift. Would you like a gift? Ben, worship leader, would you like a gift? Here's water. Here, have the water. Okay, so he now has a gift. I gave him the gift. Now, Ben, would you give that back to me? I need water, Ben. I need water. Would you give it to me? Oh, okay, I got it. All right, now, he offered me that gift, and I had simplistic faith that he wasn't going to make a fool out of me and jerk it back at the last second, you know? No, he really was going to give it to me, so I reached out, and I took that gift offered. I could have said no thanks to the gift. No, I don't need water right now. Thanks anyway, which I don't. So thanks anyway for the water, okay? A gift is offered. It's not mandatory. Repentance is mandatory. You want to follow Christ, you must repent of your sins. Can I hear an amen on that? And you should obey the command of getting water baptized. It is a command. You need to obey the command of getting water baptized. But then there is a gift available to all believers. If you want it, you can have it. If you don't want it, you don't have to have it. It's just that simple. The gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The word gift there in the original language, the Greek language, is doria. And it means, okay, gift of the Spirit. But the writer here, Luke of Acts, he uses this every time to refer to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What happened in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, is the doria of God. The doria given to people. So here's the doria of the Spirit. And verse 39, this promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. We're going to come back to that verse a little bit later. Let's see how this works out now. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Just reading the verses, making some comments on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Have you been baptized in the Spirit yet? Acts 8, here Philip is going down to Samaria. He preaches the gospel. He has signs and wonders following. Shrieks and impure spirits are coming out of many with shrieks, and many who were paralyzed were healed, and it was great joy was in the city. But then we come down to verse 12, Acts 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So here we have people who believed the word, and they were water baptized. Then verse 13, here's this bad guy. Hear the music. Dun, 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 dun. Simon himself believed and was baptized. Historically, this guy was quite a rascal. After Peter rebukes him in just a couple of verses, he turns around and he starts a heretical movement called Gnostics, where it's all mental and whatever. And it's a heresy of the first century church, and it's dealt with extensively around the world. And he's the culprit that started it. But anyway, Simon himself believed, 13, was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So there's signs and wonders and miracles, there's repentance, there's water baptism going on. Verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria, and it's implied to investigate, see what's going on down there, because these are people that should not really receive the word of the Lord like this. And so, verse 15, when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Hello. They'd already repented. They'd already seen miracles. They'd been water baptized. But they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, 16, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Theologically, throughout the rest of the New Testament, and we're spending the whole month teaching on Wednesday nights about this, theologically now, when you repent of your sins, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, and you have the Spirit of God. That is an absolute fact in the New Testament. Now this writer is making a differentiation. The Spirit, even though they had repented and been water baptized, the Spirit had not yet come on them. Why? He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he's making a point throughout his whole letter here now. So, verse 16, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then what happened? Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, that's it. Boom, there it is. You know, as I pray for people around the world to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I sometimes just have to chuckle at responses. I come and I'm praying for somebody, and they're just looking. They don't even close their eyes. They're hardly in the kingdom of God. Whatever you got for me? And then I'm looking at them, unemotional. So, okay, here it is. I'm laying my hands on you. You can speak in tongues now if you'd like. Okay. And they just start speaking in tongues. Oh, great. Praise God. Next person come on. I start to lay my hands on them. They're sobbing. They're weeping. They're crying. They're getting all emotional. I lay my hands on them. Go ahead and speak in tongues. They just start burst out. They're screaming and yelling. I'm going, hold on here. And so different emotional responses. And it's just because of the personalities involved. It's just God coming. And a matter of fact, they received the Holy Spirit and something happened. Now look at verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. And he said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Man, something's going on. You prayed. Whoa, wow, that's amazing. I want something. 20. Peter answered, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. Peter's talking, and he uses that same Greek word now, doria. You thought you could buy the doria of God with money? No way, fella. That can't be happening. It comes as a supernatural gift. You can't buy it. Now, we see that there they started receiving the Holy Spirit afterwards. And that word gift now ties it back into chapter 2 and the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Let's look at the next one. Acts chapter 10, just reading the verses here. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. 10:44. When Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. What's going on here? There had been some visions taking place. And Cornelius was in his house. He's a Gentile, and he's wanting to get more of God. And God gives him a revelation, call Peter. And then Peter's up in the upper room, and he has this vision of unclean things. And God tells him, don't say what's unclean, what I've counted clean. And so they got this miraculous encounter. And so Peter goes to the house, and he says, I now realize that I've got to preach the gospel to you. So he's preaching the gospel to him. While he was speaking, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. I would love right now for that to happen right here. Faith would so well in your heart, whatever you're asking from God, whether you're wanting a filling or the baptism, it just start happening right now. While Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift, there's our word doria again, gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. All right, so now clearly the baptism of the Holy Spirit had been poured out because they heard them speaking in tongues. It was the doria of God, the gift of God. As I mentioned earlier, 1 Corinthians 12 is going to tell us about the charisma of God speaking in tongues. That speaking in tongues has to be accompanied by, with an interpreter. It's for the public services. It's for all so that unbelievers can fall on their face and say, God is among you of a truth. This over here, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is for you. It's private. It's for you to pray to God in. It's personal. One speaker one time I heard once, he said it like this. The baptism of the Spirit is like wearing your pajamas. Here you are. It's private. It's personal. You're you and God. Over here, this gift of tongues is more like you're wearing a tuxedo. It's in public. It must be interpreted. You must have a partner to dance with over here. And it's got to be tongues with interpretation in a public setting for all to hear and judge. And then for unbelievers to fall on their face and say, God is among you of a truth. And so we have these two. I'm this morning just talking about this, the pajama type. Wednesday night, we're going to talk about the tuxedo type, and you can come back on 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. We're going to get into the scriptures about that. But here we have now, in verse 45, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the doria of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. How did he know that? He heard them speaking in tongues and praising God, and he said, therefore, I see they've got the Spirit of God because I hear them speaking in tongues. Now, Peter gets in trouble. He's at the Gentiles' house, and gospel hadn't really gone out to the Gentiles yet, and so now the apostles in Jerusalem call him back and say, okay, now you report to us what's going on. So in Acts chapter 11, Peter is now giving his defense before the apostles in Jerusalem, and he's recounting the story in verse 15, Acts 11, 15, as I began to speak. I love that. Peter just beginning to speak. You wonder if the guy was really long-winded, you know? How long was he intending to preach that day before he had an altar call? As I began to speak, the Spirit of God interrupted me. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. He's relating it to the Acts chapter 2 experience. There, years later now, they're having the same experience they had in Acts chapter 2, 16. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's going all the way back to Acts chapter 1, which is actually quoting John chapter 1, where John said Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. So we've got this connection of verses right through the scriptures here now. And then what happened? Verse 17. Peter says to the apostles, so if God gave them the same gift, and that word gift is doria again. It always is in the book of Acts. If he gave them the same doria that he gave to us who believed in the Lord, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way and prevent them from serving God, becoming full-fledged Christians, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit? Who was I? I'm nobody. That's what it's all about today. We're talking about God coming and baptizing people with the Holy Spirit. One last passage here before we move on. Acts chapter 19. This is the last example in the book of Acts of this happening. Acts chapter 19. Acts 19, when Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is in the southwest corner of what we now know of Turkey, so he's over in that part of the world. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I find that a fascinating verse. Here Paul's cruising around. He's on a public street. He sees these guys, and he looks at them, and he says, you know, something's not quite right. Now, did he have a gift of discernment? I don't know. Were they not wearing the right clothes? Did they not have the right tattoos? You know, I don't know what was going on. He's just checking these guys out and said, hey, I got a question for you guys. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, Paul's scratching his head. You guys are saying you're disciples, but you'd never even heard of the Holy Spirit. I got a question for you, he says. 3. So Paul asks, then what baptism did you receive? Oh, John's baptism, they said. And then the lights go off in Paul's mind, or he already knew it, was leading them to it, whatever it was. He says, oh, guys, I get it. You left town too early. Oh, what are you talking about, Paul? You were there when John was preaching. He's in the River Jordan, right? And he's baptized. You got baptized in the Jordan, right? Remember John saying, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to tie. The Messiah is coming. Remember him saying that? Yeah. He came. His name was Jesus. And he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now, really? Yes. And that's what happens here in verse 4. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. What we see in actual practical experience is this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit seems to open the doorway to all the other gifts of the Spirit. If you're not baptized in the Spirit, we rarely find someone operating miracles or the gift of faith or prophecy or tongues with interpretation or word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning of spirits. We rarely see that happen unless someone has already walked through the door of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Once they have gone through that, it seems like all the gifts are open, and there they are, and now we can start operating the gifts of the Spirit like never before, and the doorway seems to be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Here, they were baptized in the Spirit, and immediately some of them started to prophesy as God gave them the word. So, I talked about the promise given. I talked about the promise fulfilled. Now I'm just going to read a couple more verses and finish, and I'm going to pray. If you want prayer today, I'm just going to ask you to come forward, and we're going to pray for you. Either you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can be filled fresh and new with the Holy Spirit. Whatever's going to happen in your world can happen. And let's have the musicians come as I talk about the promise today. I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 2. Peter was talking and he said this. What do you need to do about this message? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. A gift. A gift is offered. It's up to you whether you take it or not. I'm telling you this morning, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you've not encountered this in your life, this gift is right here in the palm of my hand, figuratively speaking. I am God's preacher this morning, and I'm saying it's yours if you want it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you want it. If there's something inside of you that says, I think I want that, you can have it. All it takes is faith as you reach out. The gift of the Spirit, verse 39 says, this promise is for you and your children. It's a generational promise. It's for you, he's talking to the people right there, and your children, your kids. And not only for your kids, it's a generational promise. It's for all whom our God shall call. That's you today. This promise is for you today. For all whom the Lord our God will call. How do we get anything from God? Well, it takes faith. It takes faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to look at one last verse with you before we pray. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, talking about the Holy Spirit, it says this, Luke 11, verse 9, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Let me explain what I'm talking about, Jesus said. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, you give him a snake instead? What is a snake compared to a fish? Fish is something edible. Fish is something good, especially if you like to eat fish. What's a snake? Snake is not really edible. It's actually dangerous. It will bite you. And in the context there, we're talking about something that looks like it, but it's harmful. If you ask the Father for a fish, he's not going to give you something harmful that will hurt you. He's not going to give you a snake. Listen to this. Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Scorpion rolled up into a ball could look like a little egg. And so the idea is, here he's asking for something good, an egg, but no, this wicked father turns around and gives him a scorpion, something that will sting him, something that's harmful when asked for. What is Jesus saying? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Have you asked? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Like I said, just reading some verses and then we're going to pray. It's now time to pray. If while I was preaching, faith sprung up in your heart and you said, I want that. I want that. That's the Spirit of God tugging on your heart, saying, yeah, I'll give it to you. It's a gift given. What does it take from you? Doesn't take holiness. No. If you've repented of your sins, that's sufficient. You don't have to be a quality Christian. Some of the people just received Christ when they just, and then they started speaking in tongues in the scriptures there. What does it take for you? Simply takes you asking, Father, would you give me this evidence of speaking in tongues? I want the Holy Spirit today. I'm wondering, is that you? Something stirring in your heart? Maybe you're already baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you're saying, man, I'm so dry lately. I just need a fresh touch. I want that river to flow again. I'm going to ask everybody to stand in the auditorium this morning. While the musicians play here, I'm done asking, and now I'm saying, if you would like to be prayed for this morning, I've got faith for you. I believe that God can do something. I'd just like for you to come to the altar area and we will pray. Leaders are going to join me in just a minute. We're going to pray together. If you would like to receive something, come now. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Magnify your name. Hallelujah. Anybody coming down now? Thank you, Jesus, for the one. Yes. If the Spirit of God's been tugging on your heart, now time to respond. Yes, I want whatever God has for me. Hallelujah. Yes. I want whatever God has for me. Come on, respond to the Spirit now. I gave you plenty of time. I've been talking for 40 minutes. You knew this was coming. If you've been tugging at war in your heart, saying, ah, should I go up? No, I don't want to get embarrassed. Will I really get it? What's going to happen? Well, come and find out. God's going to touch you in a wonderful way. People are coming right now. Just going to wait another minute. Amen, 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 amen. Let's just lift our voices and worship right now. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love and adore you, Lord. We magnify your name. You're worthy, God. You're worthy. You are holy, Lord. You are holy. You're holy, Lord God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We love and adore you, Lord. We love and adore you, Lord. Amen. Those who've come forward, would you come forward a little bit closer here? Come a little bit closer. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. You want some of the leaders to come and join me now? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. This is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to, let me do it all together as one now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You're just simply going to say, Father, I want the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to lead you in that prayer in just a second. Then what we're going to do is leaders are going to come and they're standing behind you right now. We're going to do what the Bible said. We're going to lay our hands on you. And then we're going to believe for God to either refill you or baptize you in the Holy Spirit and give you this wonderful gift of speaking in tongues. So follow me in this prayer. Would you repeat these words? Heavenly Father, I come to you. I want to receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I ask you to give me the Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right, just lift your hands before the Lord. We're going to lay our hands on you. I'm going to walk down. As I make that point of contact, you just release your faith. Say, yes, Lord, I want it. I want it now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.